good. So he did it for me. So I'm sure there's many great scriptures that he did not put in there, but I am trusting God to lead through my husband. Okay, and then the other thing I wanted to share with you was just some of the books that I used as I was preparing for this that many of you might have, but I just wanted to tell you a little bit about them. Trusting God, of course, the title, which I hope none of you are disappointed that I've changed my title. I know everyone saw the Faith Conquers Fear. Hopefully it's still in there, but I just felt like that was a more appropriate title for me. So Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. This is just an amazing, excellent book to read. And it's a great book that you can read like a chapter at a time and not feel like you have to just keep going. You can really read it and dive into it and then put it aside for a little bit. There's a few copies in the bookstore, and I think that we'll be having that open afterwards to get, and then there'll be some more tomorrow as well. And then the one I really, really, really want to highlight is A Sweet and Bitter Providence by John Piper, in case you can't all see. It's a very new book and just outstanding. Of course, John Piper is just a great author, but I felt like this was a little bit easier of a read than some of his, but so helpful, so faith-building. He just goes through the book of Ruth and talks about Naomi's life, and just really, really, really good. I highly recommend that book if you don't have it yet. And then the last one is Fearlessly Feminine. And I just use mostly the first chapter and a little bit at the end, but I have read through the book, and it is outstanding. They don't have any copies of this in the bookstore, so you'll just have to hold on. They're getting some hopefully this week, so, but that's a great book as well. Thank you for coming today. This is very humbling. I am trusting that God is going to be here, and my head is full of stuff. I feel like I've benefited more than any of you ever could today throughout this process, and a lot of times things would happen where I was just spurred on to have to trust God more, and so I thought maybe next year if I'm asked to teach, I would maybe teach on the adversity of prosperity or something like that. So, no, this is great stuff. So, I hopefully will be using our Bible a lot, so I want you to make sure you have a Bible with you, and then we will get started. Okay, so the question I have today is, do you struggle to trust God? I think hopefully a few of us will answer, yes, I really, really struggle. Some might be in a situation where they do struggle. And it's not because we're trying to deceive ourselves, but we can be a little confused, and each situation can call for a different level of trust, or maybe we're not even aware we should be trusting in that moment. A lack of trust in God can reveal itself in unexpected ways. Some of us can worry. Persistent anxiety is apparent in our lives. Our children, our husband, our health, money can tempt us to worry about things that we can't control. And that's usually when worry comes, is when we can't control something, which is all the time. Sometimes we can even be so proficient at it that we can worry enough for everybody else. I have lots of people that generally worry for me a lot, and I appreciate that, but I'm sure you have lots of things that you can think about for yourself. Sometimes we can be dissatisfied. Difficult circumstances and hard relationships surprise us, and we're left feeling maybe disappointed, and then as we're dissatisfied, we hunger for the thing or person that will turn it around. Some people can be depressed, like a fog that hangs in the valley of life. We're so sad, and there's little that can change the way that we feel. We may pull away from others, and more seriously, we pull away from God. There's many responses to our struggle to trust. For me, it can be anger. I can struggle with anger when I'm failing to trust God. I can lash out in anger. But these are symptoms of a deeper root issue. We find it difficult to trust God. In the face of circumstances that are unbearable or unchanging, we can succumb to the error of believing that God is either unable or unwilling to help us. I'm aware that there are some here today that are going through significant trial and dealing with a lot of unmet expectations. Sorry, I cried every time I've done this part. I have prayed for you all so much. This has been probably the best part of my planning, as I've been able to carry you with me and pray for you with tears of faith. And I'm not trying to seek to minimize any of your situations or even think that I can understand. I've really had it pretty easy. But my hope for you today is that the truth of God's word and his character will help you just to draw near to him instead of away from him. My hope is that you will get nearer. And so I just, in that book, The Sweet and Bitter Providence, Piper goes through the song, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds that you now dread are big with mercy and will break in blessing on your head. And I trust that God will do that for you today. For the rest of us that are just in our regular day-to-day lives, my prayer is that we will be challenged to dig deeper into what God's word says and prepare ourselves for that day that could be coming where difficult circumstances may come our way so that we can respond with faith in our great and mighty Savior. So really the place I want to go to is God's word, because that is what can change us and help us. And through that, I'm going to look at Isaiah 40. And through it, I hope we will be more convinced that in whatever circumstance we face, we can trust God with our life. So as you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for an opportunity to come and draw closer to you. Thank you for the gospel that is so sweet, that you have redeemed us through the blood of your Son. Thank you for enduring faith that carries us and sustains us. Lord, for your grace that is ever present in our time of need. Lord, I need you now. There's so much that I have and want to share. And Lord, I just pray that the words that come out will be your words, and that you would be with everyone here, that we would grow and change and love you more and trust you more. So Lord, be with us this morning. Amen. Okay, so I want to look at Isaiah 40, and I'm sorry that I'm going to read the whole thing. I'm not sorry, but I'm going to read the whole thing because it's just excellent. So we're going to read through that, and then hopefully I'll be able to share a little bit more about that. Okay, so Isaiah 40, comfort for God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing in emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? And what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither and the tempests carry them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thank you so much for letting me read all of that. Not that you had a choice, but when I read that as I was preparing, that was everything. This is exactly what we're talking about. So then, as we look at this, I want to answer three questions, which should be on your outline. Can God be trusted? What do I expect from God? And what would my life be like if I trusted God more? So let's jump into the first one. Can God be trusted? The essence of faith is personal. Our children are great examples of this. I mean, who of us hasn't had that example of the little child that runs up to our pant leg and grabs us and is so excited and looks up terrified because it's not their mom, and they start scanning the room and looking for her. In horror, their grip is released and they're scanning, they're looking for him, they're desperate. Why does a child act like this? We've done him no harm, but he just doesn't know us, does he? He knows his mom. She loves and cares for him. He knows her character. She's been with him when he's needed her. And the more he knows her, the more he's willing to trust her. I think that's a little bit like the picture of God. This is a relationship that we're in, and we have to trust him because we know him. And we know him by seeing his character in his word. So when we look at Isaiah, and we look at verse 1, comfort, comfort my people. The chapter begins with a God who cares, not just for some general people, but they're his people. We are his people. He knows them and they are his. His word is comfort. Comfort is a word that is needed when we're suffering. He knows and cares that they are facing difficulty, and he knows and cares that you are facing difficulty. In verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. All of creation, including things that seem so permanent to us, they're going to fade away. But the truth of God's word will not. It will never change. It will always be with us. In verse 10, the Lord comes in power and rules over all things. There's none to challenge him. No nation, no disease, no enemy can move him from his throne. Oh, this is a God that can be trusted. In verse 11, the Lord is a shepherd who gently cares for his flock. He carries us when we are weak. He directs us when we're tempted to stray. He is the good shepherd. He is our good shepherd. Yet he's the creator of the universe, and he holds the seas in the cup of his hand. Just get a picture of this God. He holds the water in the hollow of his hands. That's how big he is. We can't even comprehend that. Drops in our hands fall out. This is our God. He has no need for a counselor or teacher. He is the source of perfect wisdom and full knowledge. Even the smartest among us, which is not me, have need for others and have need for wisdom. But God, he has no need. He's the one that we draw on for help. We can help each other to a point, but he's the one that can perfectly help us. He is the creator and sustainer over all the universe, and he is sovereign. Nothing happens apart from him. No trial, no struggle, nothing that you face happens apart from him. He has the power over all the stars in the sky. Isn't that amazing? He knows every single one of them by name. and not one of them is lost from him. He cares for the infinite numbers of details equally and perfectly. The majesty of our great God condescends to care for us and equip us. In all his power, wisdom, and majesty, he cares for me. That is amazing. So can God be trusted? Well, I think this text does teach us that the omnipotent Lord of the universe cares for us. In the same way that he numbers the skies, the stars in the sky, he cares for us and has numbered the hairs on our head. And for some of us, that's a lot of hairs. Even the weakest among us is strengthened to trust him through this text. So just meditate on that a little bit. I suggest maybe tomorrow morning just take a portion of this scripture and just think about it just for a little while. Think about how it applies to your life. And I know that by the time you come to church tomorrow, you're going to be ready to praise our Lord and Savior. So not only is God able to be trusted, but are you willing to trust God? To trust your life and circumstances to God. So the first thing it takes is saving faith. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that Christ, being completely God and completely man, never sinned, but took your sins upon himself and died the death that you deserve? If you have not personally trusted Jesus in this way, let me tell you that this is what it means to be a Christian. And I believe there's little point in trying to understand and trust God for the circumstances in your life if you don't believe that. But I can appeal to you to do that today, because today is the day of salvation. So for most of us here, it takes enduring faith to trust God. Like I said before, it's a relationship, and relationships have to be cultivated. The Christian life is a life of ongoing faith. We're saved when we entrust our lives to Christ, but it doesn't stop there. It's filled with moment-by-moment choices and situations that call us to respond. Faith for our daily trials and circumstances is the fruit of what it means to be a Christian. We may have one situation where we respond really well and we are in faith for what God has. And then the next one, we don't. What are the circumstances in your life right now that are calling you to trust God? I tend to have faith for the big things. I really appreciated Amy's encouragement this morning to me. And I think that's probably what she sees. When big things happen, God has been very kind to me, and I have been filled with faith. So when we moved to the pastor's college, I was ready for that. When we moved to Chicago, I was ready for that. When we've had 6 kids, I've been ready for that. But it's the little moments that I can really, really struggle. So with these 6 kids, it's great. I love it. It's so much fun. My house is full. It's exciting. But it's full and it's exciting. So one day, I had scrubbed the kitchen floor, my hands and knees, which does not happen often, and it just was sparkling. It was so clean. I just stood there and looked at it and was just so excited that I got it done. And within an hour, someone had come and spilled a cup of juice onto the floor. And it's under the table, under all the chairs, you know, it's sitting in it. And the worst part was they walked away. They didn't do anything. They didn't even tell me. I had to step in it to find it. Well, I won't tell you which child that was. But I got very angry. And I really struggled in that moment. And out loud I said, this is not what I signed up for. Surely there has to be more than this. And, you know, when something big comes, I wouldn't say that. But all these little moments day by day, this is what I'm saying. That's where I struggle. So I know that I need that enduring faith. So I think we can all say we struggle at moments, right? So how do we grow in trusting God? I mean, what are the ways that we can grow to know him more? And so I think that's the first one. The more I get to know him, the more I will trust him. I'll know him by spending time with him in his word and in prayer and meditation. You know, all those daily little things we're supposed to do. If the rest of our time today, if you don't listen to anything else, walk away with this. If you can walk away committed to having a regular, quiet time in the morning where you are reading God's word and praying, then I know that God will bless that and he will be with you. When we really know God, we will trust whatever circumstances come our way and that he is in control and he's worthy of our trust. that's where this comes in. This is everything to us. This is our life, but we have to know it. We're not going to just trust if we have, you know, something very valuable. We're not going to just give it to a stranger. Even our families, we have to know them and keep continually knowing them to continue to trust them. So we need to know God. The other way, I think, that we will grow in our knowledge and our trust of God is by being here at church, listening to the preaching and teaching of his word. We have gifted pastors that by God's grace make his word more understandable and help us to know how to apply it to our lives. And I don't just say that because my husband is one of those gifted pastors, but I have just benefited so much. And I really was very tempted just to take this whole Romans series that we've done and just, you know, mix it all up and play it for you. Because this is everything that they've been teaching. I mean, isn't that trusting God and God's sovereignty and his care for us and helping us in time of need? So if you haven't, if you've missed some, go online, get an iPod, all those new technology things that I don't know anything about. But listen to those sermons. But for me, I think the best thing is if you can be in church on Sundays and be attentive in the meeting. Now, I know that we're all in different seasons where we're not able to always be in the auditorium or be here. You know, I have a 3.5-year-old daughter whom I love, but she does not like class. And I think probably in the last 3 weeks, she has stayed for the first time. So it's been 3.5 years since I've really sat in the auditorium for a stretch of time. And oh, it's glorious. It is so wonderful to be in here listening to the preaching of God's word. It affects me, I found, even more than being distracted in the lobby. So I know that not everyone can do that. So I'm not trying to judge everyone because I'm there frequently and will still be there many times. But is there ways that you can do things in your life that can help you to be more available to be in the preaching of God's word? I think if we're regularly listening and taking notes, God is going to really, he's going to use that, and we're going to grow, and we're going to trust him more because of that. I know that just through this Romans series, I have grown so much. So let's commit to doing a few of those things. So number two, what do I expect from God? Do you remember when you were a kid anticipating Christmas? And, you know, you go through the catalogs or you're watching, you know, writing things down from the commercials and you've given your list to your mom or Santa Claus. And you just know you're going to get that gift. I used to wake up at 3 a.m. when I was little and I would just go in and start bugging my mom to get up and go unwrap my presents. And one year I thought she said yes. I was sure she said yes. I ran out and started ripping open my presents and got in a lot of trouble. But it was the one I wanted. It was that. The Weeble Wobbles, you know, little treehouse set. Oh, I was so excited. I had it unwrapped, and I played with it for maybe half an hour. And it got set aside, and then eventually I lost all the pieces. So the real thing did not measure up to what my expectations were. I had expected this would just satisfy me forever, and maybe an hour. Didn't really last very long. So with our expectations crushed, you know, the disappointment we can feel is just hard to hide. So it's funny to think about unmet expectations when we're kids, but it's serious when it happens to us as adults. The marriage, the children, or the health that God's provided often doesn't deliver as advertised. Disappointment and the temptation to bitterness are soon to follow. For our own spiritual good, we are wise to investigate further. Why do we get so discouraged or disappointed when things aren't going the way we think they should have? Though answers can be many, sometimes we expect things from God that he doesn't even promise. Or even if the expectations are, they're good, they're godly, they're in his word, they're not what God has for us in particular. And in his sovereignty, he has brought or allowed. For example, I expect an easy life. Well, this is one I'm familiar with. Having experienced mostly good things, I can get trapped into thinking that God owes me an easy life. And I've shared the one story of my children, and I'll share another. I think my older 4 children have been pretty easy, and things have gone, you know, it's still parenting, but it's been very easy. And then, by his grace, he blessed us with 2 more little ones within a year of each other. So I was very excited for it, but it's a challenge. The first year, when I had a 1-year-old and a newborn, oh, it was a lot of work. And then these older kids I'm trying to keep up with, and I thought, okay, next year it's going to be easier. And then next year came and I had a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. Well, that's not easier. It's fun, but it's not easier. And I thought, okay, next year this is going to be easier. Now I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my 3-year-old likes to tell my 2-year-old what to do, and he'll gladly do what she wants him to do. And I can't say easier is the word I'd use. And I found myself saying that again. Next year it's going to be easier. Well, easy is not what God has promised me. Easy is not the thing I should be looking for. I finally allowed him to show that to me after 3 years. So hopefully next year I won't be saying that same thing. You can challenge me if I do. But I have presumed on his grace by assuming it will be this way. And I can get confused when things get hard. For me, I can get angry when things get hard. The question should not be, when will it get easier? Instead, it should be, do I trust that God will give me the grace to meet every difficulty that comes my way? When my 3-year-old and 2-year-old left 5 minutes alone, have pulled everything off the shelves or started coloring all over the walls or painted, do I trust that God's going to give me the grace to deal with that? Isaiah 40, 29 and 30, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes I can think that God is punishing me. Things are difficult because I deserve it. I've done some really bad things in my life, so bad that I don't even want to talk about them with other people, but God knows. And because of this, I'm being punished. If you have placed saving faith in Jesus Christ and think this way, then I want you to know this is so far from the truth. We all know that, but we have to be reminded. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. There is no sin that he has not covered. He is not punishing us. The things that he's brought our way, the trials that we face, the circumstances that we're in, they're not his punishment on us. He delights to give us good things. So don't believe that lie. Sometimes we can think God is not interested or able to help. We get in trouble when attributing to God the sin or weaknesses of other people. Sometimes even the people closest to us turn away or are unable to help. That is never true of God. The sovereign Lord condescends to know us and help us in our time of need. Even if every person around you fails, he will never fail. He will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is not our cry. This should not be our cry. Because God crushed his son for us, he will never leave us. So we can be confident that not only is he able, but he desires to graciously give us all things. The scripture that Judith read, he's not going to give you a serpent when you ask for a fish. He doesn't want to do that. He is good. So God, help us to maintain right expectations for who he is and what he'll do. Can we take our expectations, whether they're good or bad, and lay them at the cross of Christ? Let our faith be there, that our greatest need was already taken care of. So even if the most difficult circumstances come our way, we can know that God can be trusted to give us the grace to walk through it in faith. Help us to keep our circumstances in the right place. So what would it look like if I trusted God more? Well, I would like to just use this time to just walk through an example in my life, in my marriage, actually. I want to share that. And as I'm sharing this, I want you to be thinking of a situation that you may be in or something you've experienced that you're struggling with your trust of God. And then just walk through that with me. And we'll answer a few questions, and then hopefully that will help us all to grow. So Jim and I were saved right before we were married, as Amy shared my life story. We've been married for 16 and a half years, and God saved us right before we got married. It was so kind of him to save us together and before we joined as man and wife. This has made all the difference, not only in our lives, but also in our marriage. I expected, and you'll see the thread here, I expected things would go pretty well, that my children and I would be a priority, and Jim would never struggle with the pull of work, or I would be first. I thought things would be pretty easy for us. I mean, I thought, hey, he got someone pretty good, so, you know, this shouldn't be hard. So you notice that thread of easiness in my life that I like. In about our 6th year of marriage, Jim was in a very demanding position with work. This was before he became a pastor, because this is not demanding, this is great. His company was going through a merger, and there was a lot of work to be done. He was in a position of a little bit of authority, so he had people working for him. And he always felt bad asking them to stay late if he wasn't willing to do the same, which is great. I should love that. I do love that about him, but I, at the time, probably didn't so much. So he was working very long hours and not taking any time off. And I know many of you here today are very familiar with this, so you just see that I just like things very easy. So I was not appreciating the difficulty he was under having to produce at work and also knowing how to say no. Instead, I was growing bitter and distant. When he would leave at 6 a.m. and sometimes not come home till midnight, I would be angry and I would seethe. I was not responding in faith toward God. I was not praying for him, and I certainly was not talking to him. How my bitter eyes had made me blind. This happened many times over a period of about 6 months or so. My circumstances in my mind were unreasonable and difficult. Surely this was not the life or marriage that God wanted for me. I didn't want to have to be raising these kids on my own. I did not turn to the Lord and rest in his promises for me, but in the fact that I felt neglected and lonely and justified my cold, distant responses to my husband. Now what if? What if I had prepared myself better each day to understand that trusting God would be a moment-by-moment endeavor? There's so many opportunities to be aware of that we're going to take trust. I walked into that season of this job. We had moved back from Chicago, and I was in faith that God had moved us back here for a reason. I was in faith that this was the right job for him. And I knew that that was going to take trust. But I wasn't cultivating it along the way. And then I wasn't responding in those little moments. I could have brought my concern to the Lord when I first started struggling. And then the next time I could have brought it to the Lord. And the next time. I know that God would give me the grace to walk in faith toward him and for Jim. And I believe that if I would have been able to talk to do that, I would have been able to talk to Jim more openly and humbly if I had. But I was not cultivating that. So what if I had better prepared myself each day to understand that trusting God would be a matter of resolve? Regardless of what I was feeling, what my circumstances were, trusting God is based on a resolve to look past our feelings and make it a choice. It's a choice to trust God. If we do it based on how we feel, then one day we'll feel like we want to, and the next day we won't. And I certainly was not feeling like I wanted to. I can choose to trust God even if I don't feel like it. When I know him more, and I know his character, and I know his word, then he helps us to make that choice, because it's based on him and not based on me. I don't think my life at that time reflected a daily appetite for his word. I know it didn't. Or prayer. So when I wasn't feeling very cared for, I responded in bitterness. If I had seen my need to be in his word and drawing closer to him, drawing toward him instead of away, I think I would have more often been able to respond with eyes of faith, even though my circumstances weren't what I wanted. And even if nothing had changed, I still think I would have done much better in faith. And what if I prepared myself better each day to understand that trusting God would frequently bring me to the cross? So the cross is the proof that God will act today and tomorrow for what he already did. The cross shows me my sin and the payment that was made for me. It keeps me humble and it corrects my expectations of others and reminds me of what Christ did for me. If I was regularly going to the cross and laying my expectations for my marriage there, oh, I believe that my love for Jim would have grown and I would have been able to identify with his struggle and been a better helper fit for him. I was not helping him at all. I only cared about me. I wasn't seeing my sin or my need. I wasn't seeing Christ's sacrifice for me. I was seeing my sacrifice for Jim. If I was more aware of my sin, then I would have judged Jim less. I would have judged his sin, or what I thought was sin, much less. And I trust that God would have allowed me to have faith in in Jim's leadership and helped me to see myself more clearly. So I wasn't trusting that God was leading Jim. So I was wanting to lead. So I was wanting to lay down the law of how things should be. And I think all of that would have increased our communication and our love for the Lord and each other. By God's grace, he did convict me and show me my sin before I did anything too detrimental. I was able to talk with Jim and confess. And like I knew he would, Jim did make changes to his schedule. I trust that I've grown since then, since times like this are a little bit less, because I am trusting God more, and hopefully I'm growing in my relationship with the Lord. You know, this isn't a straight path from salvation to eternity in that book, that Trusting God. It's twists and turns and ups and downs, and a lot of times you can't even see around the corner. You don't know what's coming next. It's not a straight path. It's curvy and windy, but God is with us in every single one, and he has a reason behind not showing us what's next. It's like that tapestry that you see. We see the back part that's all yucky and gross, but you turn it around and it's beautiful. We're never going to walk this road perfectly, but by God's grace, as we grow in our knowledge of him and our relationship, we can respond more often in faith for who he is in his sovereignty and what he has allowed. So I just want to close with a poem from Amy Carmichael, which most of you know. She was a missionary. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on me, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices weakening. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, make me thy fuel, flame of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, that it never ends. Thank you that you are the creator and sustainer, and that you love us so much that you sent your son, that our greatest need has been already taken care of, so that whatever we face in this life, God, we have no reason to fear, because we know that you are with us and that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, I just pray that there'd be a few things that these ladies will have been served by. I know there's so much more I could say, but God, you are faithful. And Lord, I pray that you would draw each one of them closer to you. Help them to know you more so that they can trust you more, so that all the fears and anxieties and worries that they face, God, would fade away, not because their circumstances necessarily change, but because you are bigger. Oh, Lord, be bigger in all of our eyes. Lord, help us draw closer to you, to the only one that matters. Let us draw our strength, our hope, our life from you. Thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that fellowship would be sweet, God, and that we would use one another to encourage and spur each other on to love and good works, God, and that tomorrow and the next day and for weeks and months to come, God, we will see fruit in our lives because we trust you more. Lord, thank you for this morning and for your abundant grace. Amen.